Announcements. We've got tomorrow we got public ministry 10:30 Kennedy, and then 5:30 here over there at Sutherland's. And it's been working out good. See all the political signs, and might as well hold some signs for Jesus Christ. It's been working out good, seeing more folks coming in, and it's good. I think Tuesday is Ladies Fellowship. Yeah, so 6 days from now, Ladies Fellowship. That is Tuesday. And at 6 here, right? Yep. Fellowship Hall, 6 o'clock Tuesday, Ladies Fellowship. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to talk about Christian music. Christian music. Here's a great verse that encourages music and as a way to keep the words of God in your heart and in your mind and all that. Colossians 3:16, one verse, Christian music. Here it is. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's a good 3:16 there, Colossians 3:16. In your Bible, just as a note on the subject this evening, the longest and the largest book in your Bible is a song book. It's Psalms. 150 chapters, and it's the biggest book by page count, by chapters. It's the biggest book, and that's interesting. And so we're all musical people. I mean, you may not have musical talent, but you like music. And music affects you, and that's part of the human experience, I guess. It's the way we are. It's the way we're created, and music is big business. I mean, it's people voluntarily pay money for sounds, and it's a big part of the human. I say human experience, big part of life, and music can either help you. Or it can hurt you. It can teach you things that you should do, or it can teach you things you shouldn't do. And music, and every probably restaurant and business that you know has folks in and out of their establishment understand that music sets the tone for things. It provides a spirit. It provides atmosphere. It creates the personality, I guess, of the establishment, or at least sets the environment for it. And so it's a powerful thing. Y'all know that. You may not consciously think about it, but I think you know that. And music is one of the best teachers. Melody is memory. Melody is memory. And we've been in nursing homes and we've preached in nursing homes, and there may be folks that cannot remember their own children, but they can remember songs. And you start singing a song or playing a song, and it's there. It's just in the person. And so it's a very powerful thing, and I probably don't have to continue to explain how powerful it is, but because it's so powerful, there's probably some principles that you ought to put into practice because of the power of music on your life. And Paul gives some good advice. He says, look, if you want the words of God, and not just if you want them, but in order to put the words of God into you, one of the best ways to do that is through music. But let's pray, and we'll talk about Christian music. Father, I pray this evening you would help us. Just help us. I think we understand all these things we're going to talk about. May not consciously think about them, but recognizing them and bringing them to the forefront of our minds may help this evening to make some good decisions on our music choices and what to put into our minds and hearts and what not to. I know we all have music probably we wish we could get out of our minds, but that just is a testimony to how powerful melody is and music is. But just as equally powerful to put something in that's no good, it's powerful to put something in that's good. And I pray that we'd be encouraged this evening to find some good music and listen to good music and music that would put the words of God into our hearts and minds. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll read the verse one more time. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's a good description. Richly, it's like an adverb for you English majors. Adverb. But it's like, I think like rich chocolate cake or something like that. It's just so it's full and sweet and all that kind of stuff. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it's a real simple instruction of putting the words of God into your hearts, into your minds through music. When Jesus Christ was about to go to the cross that night in Passover evening, they eat the meal there, Last Supper, and one of the things it says is after they ate, they sang a hymn, and that's recorded, and even in Corinthians, I think it is, but they sang a hymn, and music is just, it's very powerful. It's all through the Bible, and I could say a whole bunch about its properties and things like that, but just three simple points this evening. Number one, music is one of the best teachers, and we kind of hinted at that a while ago. When he says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, from a very early age, admonishing, that's like instructing, that's correcting, things like that. It makes me think of, as a little kid, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, things like that. You know, that's an admonishment just put to a melody. And it's something that sticks with, I mean, here I am, you know, I'm 25 years old, and I just, y'all don't have to laugh that hard. No, I mean, I remember these songs, and they're in me, and you got the same thing. You remember things, just nursery rhymes, the ABCs, things that can be instructed and put to music. You can instruct with music, and you can instruct in all sorts of things. I mean, not just biblical things, but all sorts of things. But the most profitable thing would be Bible things and character issues and things like that. And equally, people can be instructed in good things. Equally, they can be instructed in bad things. I think of Woodstock. I mean, it's just, there's music. This is, I don't know, when was that, 60s, late 60s? So, I don't know, 50 years ago now, something like that. But that's music about fornication and drug use that set the tone for fornication and drug use. That was what it was. And so that it just set the environment. This is what people came to do. This is the spirit they came to enjoy. And so they immerse themselves in sounds and melodies and words that express these things. And they participated in them. And it was equally a teaching of there's good things and you equally teach bad things. Let me give you a couple of things. in 2 Kings, here's a little interesting note. I'll show you a few times in the Bible, music is very instrumental. But look in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's give you a couple of these references here. 2 Kings 3, 1. This is Elisha. I think this is it. I hope I got the right reference. Maybe not. No, that's not the right reference. Well, anyway, I'll give you the story. Elisha's about to prophesy, and he asked that a minstrel come in and play and sing and put to music a prophecy. And he teaches a prophecy through the songs. I know it's in 2 Kings. I wrote down the reference wrong. But anyhow, Elisha uses music to teach and instruct in prophecy. Another interesting one, and there's many times in the Bible that prophecy accompanies preaching. I mean, accompanies music, or music accompanies prophecy, or music accompanies preaching. The Psalms, it's a song book. 1 Chronicles chapter 25, it happens, and 1 Samuel does it, in 1 Samuel 10. And I mean, even in church service, we just did it. We just sang, and then now we're going to open the Bible, and we're going to talk about something from the Bible. And so all through the Bible, music is a teacher. It is one of the best teachers. It is, in fact, it is such a good teacher that it will impart things to people that they may not even want to have imparted to them later on. I mean, that they may not be able to get rid of. It imparts thoughts, it imparts a spirit, it imparts things into the heart, and it affects your emotions. I mean, you've probably listened to a song, and it got you going and got you stirred up, and you're just, maybe in one instance, you're listening to a certain song and it got you stirred up and you're ready to fight, or you're just ready to like go and take on the world and whatever. I remember the locker rooms in high school before football games, it was just like rap music and whatever, but it was just like, just to get the blood going, get everybody stirred up, and just, I mean, that was to create a spirit and an environment and a place where the emotions would be so stirred up, and you could just ramp up your emotions. And it, I mean, that's the way music is. It's an incredible teacher to not only stir up the emotions but impart things to people that that you're going to carry with you for a while, maybe forever. But music is a great teacher, for better or for worse. It's just a great teacher, and Paul recognizes that. The second point is this, along those lines, music is going to fill the vessel. It's going to fill you regardless of what you do. If you listen to it, it's going to fill the vessel. I mentioned it a while ago, but melody is memory. It is memory. And that's why you put things to nursery rhymes, or you put things to tunes, and things get memorized that way. Like I said, you'll remember songs sometimes so well you can't forget them. You just can't get rid of them. They're imparted so well into you, you can't get rid of what you put into you. That's the power and the effect of music. And along those lines, now looking back, with that understanding, you would probably say, I wish I would have been more discerning on what I put in than what, you know, now that I got all these things in my mind and all that. But music has a way of filling the vessel. It sets the mood of a place. It creates atmosphere, and it fills a person like few other things do. People go to the bar, they listen to bar music, have a drink, and pretty soon they have more drinks because they're listening to bar music, and they're just sitting around, and it's just everything, all the atmosphere, it's all conducive to this spirit of just, I just want to forget my life. I don't want to think about my life, so I'm just going to go have a few drinks, and pretty soon I'm drunk, and the whole thing is conducive to that. a club, a loud music, all those things, you associate certain types of music with certain events and certain things. And that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons we kind of do the music. You know, we sing hymns. We've got hymns and spiritual songs and things like that, because I don't think you want to, and I don't want to come to church and feel like I've been to a bar. I mean, I want to feel like I've been to church. I feel like I've heard from the Lord and not just heard from the bartender. And so. Music has a way of filling and encouraging and exacerbating things. This is an interesting verse. Look in Proverbs chapter 25, going along with this train of thought of music and it filling the vessel. For better or for worse, it just fills the vessel. Proverbs 25 and verse 20. Proverbs 25 and verse 20. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, 20, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, all right, does that sound good or bad? That sounds bad. That sounds like you're making something worse than it already is. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, I don't know exactly what all that chemical reaction is. I've heard it's smoke bombs and all kinds of other stuff. I don't know if it's like sodium, baking soda and vinegar or what it is. But okay. So going along with the first thing, that's probably a bad thing too. If it's like taking a garment away from somebody who's already cold. Now watch the very last thing. So is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. That's interesting. That you could have music that would take a heavy heart and make it heavier. And it would make it worse. And you could listen to certain music that if you were feeling down, the music would encourage you to be more burdened about what you're feeling and provide more feelings along those lines. I remember in high school, there's always bad music and all that kind of stuff out there. And I remember particularly there was a lot of music when I was in high school, and it seemed to revolve around, at least in this one area or one genre of music, seemed to revolve around a lot of killing and just suicide and stuff like that. And I remember two guys in our graduating class committed suicide. And I know what they listened to. I know how they were and all that kind of stuff. But I remember they committed suicide. And teenagers talk about it a lot too. But I think that's a lot of what you listen to and what you put into your mind and into your heart could contribute to that. If you're already feeling down, you go to the bar, you listen to music, you get drunk, and you feel nothing for a while, but then you feel worse when it all comes back around. It's like the Proverbs said, look, if you got a heavy heart, you can put some music on that heavy heart, and it will make the problem worse. It'll make you feel worse. Make you feel worse about the situation. And the interesting thing about it is your flesh can develop even though it's hurting you, your flesh can develop an addiction to that kind of stuff. Music affected me for really bad as a teenager. I don't know if everyone gets affected as much, but I know it's very effective. But I wonder, people kind of walk around these days, and they seem like they put their music on. Maybe you're sitting at the stoplight, they got their music cranked up, and everybody's living in their own kind of world, you know? They're all kind of living in their own world, and they got their own soundtrack to their own world. And they all think, you know, they're the, it feels like, got music can make you feel like you're the hero of the story, and you're just kind of the, you know, you got it going on, so you blare the music, and you're the guy, and everybody loves what's going on, and nobody cares about you, but you think that you're the center of the world. And so music has a way of the flesh just, it loves that stuff. And the problem is, when you feed that flesh, man, it'll ruin you. Ruin you. So music can fill you. Here's a good example, though. Here's a good example. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here's David. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 14. Says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. That's interesting. You got an evil spirit. Both of them are from the Lord. There's the Spirit of the Lord, and then an evil spirit that the Lord sends. He is the Father of spirits. That's one of God's titles. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. So they understand the music therapy. play some good music, so Saul not be down in the dump so much. And Saul said unto his servants, verse 17, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a man of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine, a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's some powerful music. The folks around Saul recognized, man, Saul gets down in the dumps a lot. And it would mean somebody can play some happy music to cheer him up. And so they find David, bring David in. David's skillful with music. He's a good musician. And they bring David in. And when Saul gets down in the dumps, they bring David to play some good tunes or whatever. And he plays some music. And Saul kind of cheers up a little bit for a while. So music has a way of filling the vessel. It fills the room. It creates the atmosphere, and it does that whether you want it to or not. Now, with all that said, those are the attributes of it. Music's a great teacher. Music will fill the vessel for good or for worse, for better or for worse. It'll fill the vessel. So with those things in mind, here's a couple principles. Here's a couple of things you ought to think about with music. Number one, I don't have very many, just a couple of these. Music that you listen to, with this in mind, music that you listen to ought to be biblically accurate. When Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that means the Bible, scriptures, the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. One way to do that is with music. And if you're going to listen to something, you ought to listen to something good, and listen to something that's going to put the words of God into you, because you're going to be filled with whatever you're listening to, whether it's good or bad. You're going to be filled with it. And if you're watching on TV or if you're here, find yourself depressed a lot of the time and listening to certain music, that's probably why. That probably has a lot to do with it. What you're putting in is just running its course. But on the other hand, you put in good music, it ought to be biblically accurate. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The music you and I listen to, it ought to direct our thoughts to God, to Jesus Christ. It ought to direct our thoughts to godliness. It ought to remind us of the things Jesus Christ has done. Just simple things. I mean, things that are good things. Those are good things. I guess this isn't really a rabbit trail, but I'll say a couple things here about this. God created emotions. Emotions are not, they're not bad things. Emotions are, God is emotional. He has emotions. He has anger. He has compassion. He has emotions. He created emotions. When emotions are perverted, though, just think about this. Emotions are the main reason human beings sin. I'll give you an example. Feelings often become more important than truth. For instance, and I'm going somewhere with the music thing here, but emotions are the main reason people sin. When feelings become more important than truth, you think about a drug addict. That person knows what they're doing is hurting them. But they can't get over the feeling of it. They know the truth of the matter, but they can't get over the feeling, and so the feeling takes precedent over the truth. You know what that's the emotion of it is more powerful than the truth of the matter. And emotions are like I said, The main reason people sin. Feeling becomes more important than truth. You take a drug addict. There's other examples, but just using that one. But music is like a drug. It stirs up emotions, for better or for worse. It stirs up emotions, and it'll stir up thoughts of good thoughts or bad thoughts, and it'll stir that stuff up. And before you know it, you're hooked on the music, or you're enjoying the feelings associated with the music more than you are enjoying the truth of the matter. Just like going back to the illustration, this lady or this fellow who's on drugs and they're hooked on that stuff. They know they're ruining their lives, but they don't. I don't want to say they don't care. They care, but the truth of the matter just isn't as important as the feeling they're getting from the high or whatever. So the feelings, the emotions of this, the sensations of it are more important. And it's the same way with music. Music can be like a drug because it stirs up so many emotions. And those feelings become more important than the truth. That's why I say, going back to the music thing, music ought to be biblically accurate, because if it's not accurate, if it's not training your mind toward Jesus Christ or toward the things of God, your emotions are getting stirred up about something that maybe it's a lie or it's false or it's perverted, or it's your emotions are getting stirred up about something that you're getting hooked on, and the truth is going to take second place to that. So, you know, you understand music is emotional and things like that, but music ought to be biblically accurate. I think you get that. Music, here's another one. Paul mentioned psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Look over here in 2 Chronicles. I'll show you a little principle at work. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is pretty neat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. Verse 20. This is King Jehoshaphat getting ready to go out to battle. And here's what he does. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So here's what Jehoshaphat does. Here's his battle plan. They're getting ready to go out to battle. Jehoshaphat sends the choir to the front lines. And then the choir goes to the front lines, and they just sing praise to God. And they uplift the Lord, and they praise the Lord for his mercy, and the Lord intervenes, and they don't lift a sword or a gun or anything. And before you know it, the enemies of Israel are wiped out, and then they're fighting each other. And so the Lord, in the music and in the praise and in all that stuff, so the Lord is affected by music. You're affected by music. The Lord's affected by music. He likes certain music, and he obviously doesn't like other music, but he likes this music. And so he intervenes on Jehoshaphat's and Israel's on their behalf and fights for him. Here's another one. So there's some victory in music. There can also be some defeat, which we've thoroughly talked about here, but there's victory in music. In good music, there's victory in it. Here's another one. Look in Numbers chapter 10, verse 9, and then we'll wrap this up. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9, it says, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, shall be remembered, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So they're instructed, Israel's instructed to play music for these memorial times and for battle times and things like that. And so music is just it's a big part of life. It's a big part of life. And it can yield victories. It can yield defeats. Paul says in our verse in Colossians, he says, look, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly through these things, through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because what you put in your ears is going to fill your vessel. It's going to fill you up, and it's going to affect your emotions. It's going to stir you up and good for good or for bad. And so the principles, just a couple of them here, being filled with the Spirit of God, when we go back to Colossians chapter 3, being filled with the Spirit of God is going to affect you. And if you think about it, it's going to affect you a lot like maybe alcohol affects somebody. If you're filled with alcohol, it affects the way you walk. It affects the way you talk. It affects your courage. It affects a lot of things about you. You know what being filled with the Spirit of God does? It affects your walk. It affects your talk. It affects your courage. It affects your affections. It affects your love. It affects all kinds of things because you're just filled with this either a good spirit or a bad spirit. And so when Paul says what he says about it, it's a good encouragement to, you want to put something good in your vessel, put something good in your body, in your ears, in your mind, and in your heart. One of the best ways to incorporate the words of God into your life is through music. Get some good music. Something it's going to stick with you. And it's going to impart to you things in a way that you trying to memorize things on flashcards or whatever will never do it. It won't work. But music will do it. Music will do it. And so here's some things about Christian music. I'll read this verse one more time just for refresher's sake here. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Some encouragement and good Christian music to incorporate the words of God and the characteristics and the attributes of God into your mind and into your heart. So let's pray, and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. So much about music in the Bible. Like we said, the biggest book in the Bible is a song book. And there's a lot more said about music than just the Psalms. But I pray we'd be discerning about what we put in our ears and try to use music to help our spirit and help us be encouraged in the things of the Lord, and try to use music and find good music that would help us think about Jesus Christ and think about good character and a spirit-filled life and those things. And I pray that you'd help us do that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, prayer.